I'm Jeff Martin, the manager of the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Greenhouses at the University of Tennessee. And this is our 22-year-old corpse flower that hopefully will bloom later today. It was received from the University of Connecticut in 1999. And I was hired on in 2016. So I've been taking care of it for about 5 years. Since I've been here, I've really been attentive each time it dies back from its leaf stage to take it out of its pot, clean it, repot it into a container that's 2.5 to 3 times larger than the diameter of that corm. And that helps ensure enough space for root growth and the corm to get larger. So it takes several cycles. But normally they'll take about 10 years for the first flower or so. So this has never bloomed before.
So this is out of the ordinary?
Slightly, right. It is a little bit out of the ordinary. You know, genetics could play a role, or it maybe wasn't in its happiest place and just, you know, didn't want to get big.
Right.
We try to, copy or emulate the natural environment, which is Sumatra, Indonesia. So a lot of humidity, you know, high temperatures, and also dappled sun. So it's kind of an understory type plant.
What does it look like when it's not gonna bloom? Does it look different than this?
Correct. Okay. So it has one of two kind of cycles. This flower cycle is one option, but the other is the leaf, which is like the vegetative state. So the corm sends up one large leaf, and that photosynthesizes, stores energy, and after several months, the leaf dies back. So we'll remove the leaf, take the corm out of the soil, clean it up, repot it in fresh soil, bigger pot, and put it back in the greenhouse, and it usually sits dormant for several months before it reemerges. So it goes through that leaf cycle over and over until it has stored enough energy in the corm to support the flower. The dried up little shoots you see, those actually enclose the entire. So you don't really know what's going to happen until you either see a leaf tip coming out of those protective sheets, or you see the phallus poking out. So 2 weeks ago is when we noticed the spadix poking out. So that's when we were like, oh, this,
wow.
Looking, this might be a flower. So we got pretty excited about it.
That in 2 weeks.
Right.
That's crazy.
Exactly. Now that we know it's most likely gonna open tonight, we'll leave the lights on so that everyone can get a good viewing.
Is this an endangered plant?
Is it threatened or endangered?
You kind of see both. There are fewer than 1,000 left in the wild, so I would definitely classify that as endangered. And the IUCN, International Union of Conservation of Nature, they estimate fewer than 1,000 remaining in the wild, and they classify it as endangered.
And actually, the part of the reason is due to habitat loss,
sure.
Deforestation, palm oil production, that sort of thing.
So do you breed them?
The Chicago Botanic Garden is actually leading a really big breeding effort. So they're trying to track lineages. So when you do crosses, they want to know who the parents are, where they're located, and try to, you know, maintain as much genetic diversity as possible. And then also make sure that any fruits and seeds that are produced are getting spread around so that we're keeping up this, you know, this population of individuals.
So you're just taking whatever you can get from the plant, basically, and sending it back to them?
Yes.
We'll really share a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So what we're going to do once this does open up and flower, we'll have to cut a small opening in the base to actually get to the flowers. And we'll collect some pollen and store that for the future, ideally for our others that are waiting to flower. And like you said, if others request pollen donors, then we'll have that option as well.
So you can hand pollinate?
Correct. You know, in the wild, obviously, you would have the beetles and the flies, but no, all of this is hand pollinated. So unfortunately, we don't have any male pollen right now, so we're not going to be able to pollinate because the female flowers open and are receptive to pollen before its own male pollen is ready. we assume that's just to ensure cross pollination genetic diversity. So like if you happen to come across a patch of these in the jungle, you know, you would have slightly different flowering times, and that's why it can be tricky to predict exactly when it's going to open. Katie's done a lot of lit reviews on this.
Yeah.
So I know she's talked about how different they can be. Some may start in the afternoon, some may start in the evening. So it's, you know, everything's a little bit different to make sure that pollen is around, the male pollen is around when the females are open on different plants.
What are you guys gonna do when it flowers and it stinks up here? I mean, is it gonna chase everybody out, or are you gonna be able to smell it all over the building?
You'll definitely be able to smell it. It's not enough to, you know, make people throw up, or, you know, it's going to be very noticeable, and it's just gonna smell like, oh, something crawled into the walls and died. But, you know, all the people that we've talked to, especially in the office that we're kind of co-opting, they seem, you know, fine with having that odor around. It only really lasts for 24 to 36 hours anyways. So they say that they can put up with it for the day, or, you know, we'll happily experience it with us. Mm-hmm.